If you have your Bibles tonight, would you go quickly to Isaiah, please? Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. And I thank God for the Word of God. I'm confident, still am, that it's inspired and inerrant, infallible. Amen. And it'll help you. And tonight I came to help you. If you're online tonight, I want to say to you, you can get some help. Now, kind of, I don't know how you do it online. I've done some online, and I pray for the folks that's online because that's difficult to keep your consecration. You got your coffee and your donuts and all that stuff. So kind of put them to the side and let me help you share the service tonight. I believe I'll give you something that'll help you. And I told you what I'm preaching on this morning. And since I rechecked my statistics, because honestly, Chad, when I looked at that, I thought, that's out of this world. That 89% of Americans, 89, are stressed. 89% of Americans. So if that's true, there's a bunch of y'all in here got some stress. And I'm going to say something tonight. I'll use it when I get down to my first thought. And you'll understand in a minute. I'm preaching tonight with stress. I want to tell you, I'm preaching with stress tonight. I'll explain it. I'll be able to illustrate the problem of stress in a moment because I am literally preaching in a stressful situation tonight. And I'm kind of glad I am because I think I can illustrate what stress does to you by what I'm going through this evening. 89% has what is known as chronic stress syndrome. Many Americans are emotionally fatigued, physically drained, and spiritually defeated. Somebody say amen. The problem of stress, many of us feel like the chief rat in the rat race. How many of y'all ever felt like you just in a rat race and you was the chief rat? I feel like that sometimes. There's too much to do and not enough time to do it. Amen. And what that does is that combustion causes stress. But can I give you something tonight? I got good news for you tonight. Through the page of the Word of God, there's help for your stress. There's help for your stress. Look at Isaiah chapter number 40, and verse number 28 starts out with a question. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Oh, glory. Neither is weary. And there's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Here's the secret. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not be faint. Let me just sum that verse up like this. God never gets tired. God is never perplexed. Are y'all with me? It says here, even the youth have stress. I want to say this to you. Our young people tonight are under more stress than any generation of youth ever. Because of social media, because of their peers, because of TikTok, because of all the pressure they're under, because they go to school with a bunch of morons. Somebody help me preach. And they're facing stress like they've never faced before. That you might think, well, us older folk, it's normal to be under stress, but our young people are under stress. They deal with things that they're so young they shouldn't have to deal with, but they're dealing with them. Amen. And the Bible tells us to wait upon the Lord and to renew our strength, and we'll soar like eagles. Let me give you three things, and I'll illustrate by a little something I'm going through tonight. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 28 and 29, simply the problem of stress. In these two verses, there's two categories of persons that are mentioned. Number one, Almighty God's mentioned. He's omnipotent. Amen. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's a sovereign God who has everything under control. He's immortal. He's invisible. He's most glorious. He's almighty. He's victorious. Amen. And there's nobody like him. And then verse 29 said, then there's the rest of us. Inadequate, sinful, and we got our issues. Amen. Now let me explain something. I'm going to go slow at the beginning because I want you to get what stress really is. Stress, and I wrote this down, I really want you to get it. Stress is the gap, or that gap between the demands that are placed upon us and our abilities to meet those demands. On one side are the responsibilities, necessities, demands, and opportunities of life. Are you with me? These are all the things we want to do, desire to do, should do, and ought to do. On the other side is our inabilities, our weaknesses, our sinfulness, our lack of knowledge, and our faults. And the gap in between those two is what I call the stress factor. You want to do all this stuff, but you're so inadequate and sinful and unable. And then what that does is called stress. I'll illustrate by your pastor tonight. I told you I was under stress. Now let me explain. I want deeply to bring this truth to you tonight. I want with all my heart to help you tonight. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do tonight. You with me? But I got a problem tonight. I don't understand it. I'm just dealing with it. I've got a migraine headache. I'm telling you, man, Doc, my head's hurting straight through my head. I mean, it's hurting. And you know what that caused me? I'm stressed. Because I know what I need to do and what I want to do and what I should do. But I'm fighting flesh. And I'm fighting a headache. Now, it's starting to subside a little bit. But y'all understand the illustration? Amen. I want to do it. I ought to do it. I need to do it. But I'm hindered tonight. Amen. Because I have something that is in my flesh that's hindering me. So what has happened is, between my migraine and my desire, there's something filled in the gap, and I'm stressed out because I'm saying, can I do this tonight under this little duress I'm under? Are y'all with me? By the way, that's not like anything. That's the same as you do every day. You have a desire to do something. You ought to do something. You want to do something. But then because of your sinfulness or your inability or some factor, you're hindered. And what that does, Zach, in the gap between the want to and the can't, is stress. How many understand it? Did that illustrate it pretty good? See, stress is that chasm between the ought to's and the can'ts, and what happens is we're overwhelmed and we're vulnerable to stress. Now, I read about a company that had 22 executives, Rich, a man that had a company. And he had 22 executives that worked under him. 21 of the 22 executives were under deep duress and stress. They lost sleep. They had insomnia. They were grumpy. They were moody. They missed work. They fussed and argued between one another. You ever wonder what brings that grumpiness on in you and that anger in on you and those sleepless nights? It's that stress factor. And if you don't deal with it and you don't find peace with it, it will destroy you. Amen. And that's why, Doc Kinder, I couldn't believe this statistic. 75 to 90% of the people come to you, doctor, is they have legitimate illnesses that have been caused by stress. Heart disease, high blood pressure, anxiety, depression. May I go on? 75 to 90% of the doctor visits to Dr. Kinder has been caused by stress. So God have mercy if that's the truth. Just to save on doctor bills would be good to get some victory. Amen. That lays the foundation. Now, secondly, let's move on. Not only do I see the problem of stress, but verse 31, I want you to notice the provision of sufficiency. God, how many of y'all believe God is sufficient? He said, my grace is sufficient. The same grace that I preached about saving your old rotten, fallen soul is the same grace that's able to take you through the storm. And God's given us in this passage three examples. Boy, I want to get this to you tonight. This helped me. These next 2 points helped me. He gives us three distinct promises. Let's look at them in verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now here's the three. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Chad, they shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So here's three promises, Zach. Number one, he uses the eagle as an example. Years ago, some of you that's been with me a long time, remember when I preached a series on egoology? I talked about the eagle. God is using the eagle here. You know what you and I don't like? We don't like storms, do we? But do you know what the eagle likes? You know what makes an eagle excel? storms. See, well, glory. See what, I'm preaching about flying in the rugged times of life. I'm not going to tell you life's going to be easy. There's going to be some storms. And he uses that eagle. You know what that eagle does, Chad? He waits for the storm and the winds and the thermal drafts from the desert floor. He longs for it. He knows those storms and adversity. And he learned a lesson. Do you know an eagle, when there's no storm, flies about 50 mile an hour? But when the storm comes and the thermal draft from the desert floor and the wind comes off of the desert floor, that eagle will get up in that draft, up in that storm, and he'll go between 80 and 100 miles an hour. And what I'm trying to tell you is he'll soar in the storms. Some of you made up your mind that your storms are going to destroy you, when God says your storms can make you fly higher. Well, glory. And your storm, if God sends a storm, he's not sending it to wreck your life. He is sending it to cause you to soar. How many's understanding what this preacher's preaching? And by the way, hold it, hold man. You're just like that eagle. Did you know that eagle that flew 50 to 100 mile an hour had to be taught? How many of y'all know that? Y'all know anything about eagleology? Let me give you a little bit. That mother eagle, how many's ever seen that eagle nest? Raise your hand. There's something else. They're not like a little bird's nest. I mean, they're massive. You know what that eagle does? That eagle goes and gets that brush and some thorns underneath for the end. And then he gets some leaves. Then that eagle gets his own feathers, the ones loose, and feathers at bottom, and makes it real soft for those eaglets. It makes it real cushy. And by the way, they like it there, and they like it when mother eagle comes and rests on it. And by the way, so y'all know this, in the book of Deuteronomy, Jesus is typified as a mother eagle, or God is. God's that eagle that sits on the eaglets and protects them from the storm. But here's what has to happen. Every eagle was born to fly. Ladies and gentlemen, you were born to soar, not to be defeated. Amen. You were not born, and again by God, to be a defeated, angry Christian, but God wants you to soar. Amen. So here's what the eagle will do. You go to Deuteronomy, I think 32:11, it talks about that eagle fluttering over its nest. You know what that eagle will do? When them eaglets, Lois got ready, they need to fly. Mama said, time you get out of the nest. And she'd get up with that big span, Chad. Here's what she'd do. Fluttered. As the eagle fluttereth, that's what it says in Deuteronomy 32:11. Fluttereth. And what it done, them little eaglets went flying around. And that, what happened was those feathers would fly out there. The leaves would fly out, and guess what happened to them? You ever been in a bear or eagle's nest or seen one that's thorny at the bottom? And them thorns started getting, and guess what happened? That eagle's got out on the ledge of the rock. Oh, I'm preaching. I'm about to get happy. And you know what mama would do? She'd mean mama. You might think she was a mean mama. She started fluttering. That's what she did. And you know what happened to them little eaglets? They took a nosedive off that rock. And they didn't know what to do. And they start, I could just hear them saying, just like some of you under stress. And they started falling. And you know what happened? Just read Deuteronomy 32:11. That mama eagle would come down and let him rest on her wings, take her back up and start over again. Then there was a day happened, Lois, that after a few sessions with mama, and I want to tell you, after a few sessions with God, and you getting alone with God, she knocked him off. And this time, they discovered they had wings. And they started soaring. And then they started loving it. And then they started maturing. And then they started going 50 miles an hour. And then they started going up into the storm and going 80 and 100 miles an hour. I say this to you tonight. You may be in storms tonight. They're not to break you. You may feel like you can't fly, but God will help you soar. Y'all with me? Jennifer Johnson, anybody ever read her story? I'll tell it to you about storms and how God has them for your good. Jennifer Johnson was going home from a late shift. She was going to back home, and she did. But how many of you ever had not filled your tank up and you should have? Anybody in here ever run out of gas? Raise your hand. How many believe that's hopeless? Terrible. Jennifer, she run out of gas in the darkest, bleakest part of town. And I want to tell you, she was out of gas. And she did what I would do. I mean, I don't cuss, but sometimes I write them down and let my secretary sign them. She got all upset. Said a bunch of stuff, scared to death. You know what happened, Lois? Walking down the middle of the highway was a big, brawny, hairy, bearded man coming toward her. And he pecked on her window. She thought he was there to either kill her or rape her or something. And pecked on her. She blowed the horn, screamed at him, and everything else to get away. And he left for a second. And then he come back. And when he come back, this time he had a pole, a steel pole. And she did get scared then, Chad. And you know what he done with the steel pole? He broke out her window, unlocked her door. And she kicked him and bloodied his nose. And then he grabbed her by the leg and the arm and pulled her out of that car and then let her go free. And in the next 30 seconds, she had run out of gas on the train track. And the train destroyed her car. When we think it's something bad, actually it's God with his providential hand in the storm. When we feel so stressed, that makes us fly, Chad. Then not only does he help us fly in the rugged times of life, let me rush. He helps us to run in the rushes of life, or when life rushes us. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. These are not the storms of life. No, these are what I call the deadlines of life. How many of you got kids going to school this week and you haven't got everything ready for them? How many of you got kids going to college and they're about half freaked out about driving to the marshal or driving to state, and they're just freaked. And they're having one of those days. See, God not only, boy, I tell you, deadlines are tough, aren't they? Come on now. How many of y'all got a busy schedule? I want you to know something. Last week, I drove to Winston, had a meeting, Drove to Knoxville on Monday night. I left here last Sunday night. Knoxville, I had a meeting on Knoxville. I had to meet a preacher and discuss a situation and a conference. And then the next day I had a wedding rehearsal. That night I had to preach. The next day I had a wedding. That night I had to drive 5.5 hours back home. I had a scheduled meeting on Friday, and then Saturday I wanted to be up at the food pantry. And I want all y'all to know something. I had deadline. Now, one of the deadlines I just about got. My son wanted me to tell this story, and I was hesitant because it involved the church car. And I was coming down from, you know how you come from Asheville through them mountains? And it's steep. How many's ever drove that road? It's steep. Well, I got a deadline. I meet with Jared Shoemate, and I got a deadline. And Marguerite's on the phone. It's all her fault. And I forgot what I was doing. And I was going 88 in a 70. And here comes, whoo, 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 a blue light. Y'all want to know about stress? I don't want to get no ticket in a church car. Here comes this nice young man, about 35 years old. Said, sir, do you know how fast you were going? I said, absolutely not. I was talking to my wife. He said, you were going 88 into 70. I said, sir, I'm having a meeting with a preacher. I got a wedding tomorrow. I'm at wedding rehearsal. I'm guilty. I know it. But could you show an old man mercy? That's what I said to him. So he walks back. I thought, well, he's going back. He's going to get me a ticket. I am stressed by now. And he comes back and he said, can I say something to you? You've pushed me to the limit here. You're 88 and the 70 is the limit. But I'm going to let you go. I talked in tongues, by the way. And I want to tell you, but I want you to know something. He said, slow her down, boy. I said, you got it, sir. I called him Captain. I said, Captain, you got it. And he said, now here's what I want you to do. You take your time. You're going to kill yourself. You know what he did? I didn't know it, Lois. He followed me for the next 30 miles. To see if I'd speed. He finally passed me just outside of Knoxville. Same guy, same car. And I said, I'm glad I learned my lesson. Somebody say amen. But see, glory to God, I about forgot what I'm preaching about. What I'm trying to do, I tell you, you get in deadlines. Doc, you ever have a deadline? Any you business people ever have deadlines? And what does it do to you? You get stressed out. All y'all got stressed out because deadlines. Everybody in this room gets stressed out because of deadlines. We all get stressed out because of deadlines. And what we need to do is let God help us to run and not be weary. But here, thirdly, he has another analogy here. I got to hurry up. My Lord have mercy. It's a lot of preaching. Y'all getting some help. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. So first of all, we fly in the rugged times of life. And we run in the rush times of life. But then we walk in the routine parts of life. Most of us, you know where our trouble is? It's not really our deadlines because we don't have a lot of them. You know where we get our stress at? In everyday routine of life. Amen? See, we are to fly as an eagle, surge like an athlete, but we've got to stick by God and stick by His grace day by day. Amen. We need to fly in the hard times, run in the happy times, but we also need to walk in the humdrum times. You know, it gets stressful being a mom. Every day of your life, you're making, and some of you work, some of you don't. but you're making breakfast for your kids. You're putting them out in the bus or whatever arrangement you got going for with them in school. You're doing homework in the evening. You're praying with them, trying to nurture them. And I just got to be honest with you, what all that does is, it's routine. You do it every day. But it mounts up, don't it? And you get stressed out doing it. I mean, you do the same thing every day. And it just, and then what, then one of them kids will just do some double talk with you. You ever had a kid do a double talk with you? I mean, you're up there fixing their peanut butter and jelly sandwich and they're mouthing you. How many of you ever wanted to just grab your kid by the throat? You ain't supposed to, but say, shut up. Well, don't grab him by the throat, but tell him shut up. Okay. Just routine. You know, I got a routine. I get up early and I go in and study a little bit before I come to church. Try to get sweet before I meet the staff. With my staff, you need to be sweet. And we go through a routine every day. I mean, yesterday I got called from members. I got a real sad call yesterday. I meant to announce it. It's a sad call. One of the first converts of Taze Valley Baptist Church, y'all may not know who it was, but I'll tell you who it was. And the Lord led me. I was able to be the one that got him saved. Well, Christ saved him, you know that. But it was Nancy and Jim Facemar. How many remember them? They've had a lot of rough times. They over in our lot over here where the new building is, they had a trailer park, a trailer over there. And when we had the double wide out here, that's been 40-some years ago, they came down, Jim came down and knocked on my door at 4:30 in the morning. Nobody knocks on the door at 4:30 in the morning. And he did, and he came out, and I came out, and he said, I think my baby died. And I know I haven't talked to you, and I haven't been very kind to you, but my baby died. Would you come and help me? So I went up here, and sure enough, the baby died. I prayed over the baby, and oh, that's so stressful. Just routine. The baby just died of crib death, 6 months old. Routine. And they were poor at the time, didn't have any money. So remember Roger, I brought them, and our church paid for the funeral. We got a loving church. We paid for the funeral, and they said, how am I going to pay you back? I said, you don't have to pay me back, but here's what you need to do. Come 1 month to every service and hear me preach. And that's the only payday I want. Within that month, they got saved. And I'm going to do her funeral sometime this week. I thank God that I know that day she got saved. They've had a rough part of life. They've lost one son, and they lost that baby in crib death, and another son's in some problems. And you think you got stress. I mean, it's just trouble. But you know, that's just a routine for your pastor. Do you know that? Every day I met with a crisis. Every day our staff met with a crisis. Every day I've got somebody that's hurting that needs attention now. And you say, what do you do? I'm about to cry. There's sometimes it gets heavy on me. It gets to where I don't know if I can do it anymore. And then God. And he said, your wall cannot be faint. And then God gives me strength. And I'm able to minister to him. And love him. It's my routine. But how many of y'all agree with me? In the mundane things of life that we do every day, they're stressful. Am I preaching? Am I helping you a little? See, I'll tell you what this life is. I'm finished. I got one more point, and I'll hurry. I know I haven't even got to the main point, so I'm going to rush it a little. But can I finish this? This is so important. See, sometimes we need to be like the snail that was going up the tree looking for an apple. And the worm came out of the tree and said, there's no apples up there. And the snail said to the worm, oh, by the time I get there, they will be. Lastly, and I'm done, verse 31, the promise of strength. How many of y'all have been ever so stressed out, and then God came on you with supernatural strength? It said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Have you ever been to where you felt like Lois, you couldn't go another step? Just couldn't make it? And then God gave you the strength to make it. Now here's what it is. The promise of provision of strength is we must wait on the Lord. The Hebrew word renew means to change or exchange. Now let me explain what I mean. The Christian life is not only a change life, but it's an exchange life. What we do, Chad, is we exchange our weakness for his strength. We're weak. Amen. We're frail. But all we need to do is say, God, you take my weakness, and he'll give you his strength. I'll give you four things to pencil down. Can I do that? What does it mean to wait, Jeff? I'm going to give it to you. I'm done. Lois, go ahead and move. I just want you to jot these four things down. How many of you, it's hard for you to wait? Five of you? Rest of you, liars, pants on fire. Number one, truly, Psalm 62:1 said, truly my soul waiteth on God. From him cometh my salvation or deliverance. We need to long for him daily. When David wrote this psalm, he was in distress. You know how you can get strength? Is to have a devotion time and a prayer time and a get alone time and God and just long for God. And then secondly, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, this thing, wait. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watches daily at the gate, waiting at the post of my doors. Not only do we need to long for God, but we need to listen to him. We need to have a quiet time. Do you? Do you have a quiet time? Well, you'll listen to God. What you're doing, you're waiting for instruction. You're waiting to, expecting him to speak to you. And then Psalm 104, verse 27, not only do we long for him and listen to him, but we must look to him. These wait all upon him, upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. And he was referring animals in the forest. You know what? Let me tell you why you get stressed. You think God's not going to come through. Can I tell you, Fred? I've been young and I'm now old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He will, like he supplied for the animals, he'll supply for you. But you got to look to him. Are you? Or are you looking to fix it yourself? Are you the one that's trying to get, you know what makes you more stressed than anything? You're trying to fix your kids, fix your home, fix everything, fix your business, fix it all. You can't fix any of it. You got to look to God. You got to listen to God for instruction. You got to long for God. And lastly, and I'm done, and I'll pray, we must live for him. Proverbs 27:18 says, whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. You know, God wants us to live for him. You know, I'll tell you something about me. My wife will tell you this. Everybody, all my staff, I teach them this, to be good tippers when they go out to the restaurant, because you're being waited on by people. Now, I want y'all to know something. I am a demanding person when it comes to getting my food. I want all y'all to know that. I won't lie to you. I want my water there. I want my refills. And I don't want to wait 30 minutes. Right? No, y'all do that. Some of you snub the people and won't tip them because they're a little slow. I always tip them, but I frown when I do it. But I'm wanting them to serve me because I'm going to reward them with rest and finances. That's what I'm going to do. See, God wants us to serve him and live for him. And what he's going to do, Rich, he's going to reward us if we wait on him and honor him and keep serving him. For 46 years, I've been serving him in one church. I think I've got, I'm praying for 4 more years, and I want to get 7. I like to pastor till I'm 80. But if I make it to 77, 50 years here, I'll be a happy camper. And if I preach like I am now, I probably will. Amen. So get used to it. Now, wouldn't it be bad that I want God's strength and I don't live for him and I don't serve him? You can't honor God without serving God. So are you longing for him? Are you listening to him? Come on now. You said, I want to get out of this stress. You got to long for him. You got to listen to him. You got to live for him. I wonder how many people in this room, you don't usually come to the altar, but you're stressed. I mean, right now, you're really up against it. Finances are tough. You've been dealing with illnesses. Your kids are driving you crazy. Some of the people you go to school with, you dread going back to school because they're morons. My granddaughter, can I tell you a funny story about Brooke? I don't know if she's here tonight. Yeah, hey, Brooke. Hey, how you doing? I'm going to tell a story that you told me. So hang in there, honey. She goes to school. She goes to public school at Elkview Middle. And Brooke's a good girl. I told her she couldn't get married till she's 30. You can date when she's 27. I said, Brooke, you got a boyfriend? Any boys after you up here? You know what she said? Some of your moms are like this. You know what Brooke said? I said, you got any boys up there? Any boys up there? She said, Dad, they ain't got no brain cells. She said, Papa, they have no brain cells. Keep that idea, girl. I wonder, you stressed? Maybe you got a bill that's coming due. Maybe one of your kids are struggling. Maybe one of your kids are stressed, facing problems. And they're having a hard time dealing with life. Some of you, what you ought to do for your kids, you ought to come around this altar. You know what you ought to do for yourself is bring your wife tonight and just say, you know what? The mundane things of life are getting up. We're getting upset. And we ought to be better than this. Let's let God take care of us. I wonder how many in this church tonight, how many people online tonight. I know I've went over a few minutes. I hope it's helped you. We'd come up around this altar and say, you know, I am. But I'm going to wait on God. And I'm going to soar like an eagle. And I'm going to run when it's rush hour. And I'm just going to walk through my daily life and let God be my strength. How many of you tonight, come on, let me ask you, you've tried to fix things yourself? You fix your kids' problem. By the way, your kids are going to have to grow up like I did the hard way. It's just the way it is. Why don't you just tonight say, you know, I've had some anxiety and stress, and I think I'm going to follow the pastor's suggestion tonight. Just come pray. You ain't praying for me. You're praying for yourself. Would you stand? And if God spoke to you in this message, why don't you just slip up around the altar and say, God, I want you to help me. People are coming. You come. Our Father, touch this invitation as I pray myself. Help folks to come and pray. Help folks just to come around this altar and give themselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come?